Now, I will not review the 13th chapter of Mark because it says the same thing, only some errors. The story is told just a little different. Every time you read the Bible, the story is told just a little different. That's what King James has done to the Bible. It's like four people that are on a corner watching an accident. Not one of them can tell the truth about it. They all see it differently. And most churches will say, that's the way you got to take the Bible, four people witnessing. Well, we don't take four people on a corner and judge our life by what four people on the corner say, do we? But this Bible is to be taken as what constitutes hell and heaven, your fate, your future, everything you do. The church tells you, you've got to believe according to this Bible. And yet these preachers will stand when you show them a discrepancy and they'll say, well, look at it this way. It was like four different people looking at an accident. Well, if these people are just people, then throw it away. We don't need people. We're not looking for four people that were watching an accident. We want to hear God tell what he's doing himself. We want God to speak for himself. We don't want four people telling us what God said. We want God to tell us for himself. Say, you can't expect that. Oh, yes, you can expect that. If you don't have it, then God is a liar. Because it is written, God is no respecter of persons. Out of one blood, he made all nations. That's why I have Jesus' blood. There's only one blood. God is no respecter of persons. Said, what he's done for one, he'll do for all. You sing a song, what he's done for you, he'll do for others. 'Tis no secret what he's done for you, he can do for all. Now, if he appeared to Nebuchadnezzar, who was a racist, who owned slaves, Nebuchadnezzar and the king of Babylon, in the fire furnace, he looked out there, he saw Ashak, Meshach, Abednego, and then, baby, he looked and he saw Jesus Christ, God. Right? That's what he said. He said he saw four. Solomon saw him, and he said his hair was as black as a raven. Well, I'm pretty close to it. And I got some idiots that say I dye my hair. That's my hair, baby. There's Brother Lewis, by the way, back there. If any of you want to see him, he's standing in the door where he was shot three times. You can put your hand right in the wounds. He'll show it to you. Don't hesitate. He took his shirt off last time so that all of you could see it. But if you want to be a believer, if you have to be a doubting Thomas, I'd rather you would just admit that you're a Thomas and say, I want to see it. He told you. I told him to stay in 14 days, and the 13th day he went out, but he was a man of goodwill, and they kicked him over and said, now trust in that sucker Jones. And he did, and he called my name, and the doctor didn't have to do a thing for him. Now, what do you think about somebody that can bring a bullet through the heart and man can get up like he is standing there with no trouble? I ask you to look for yourself. Don't take my word. Don't go out here a doubting Thomas. Ask him to show you, and he'll show you where it went, right in here and out here. Right through the heart, side cavity. Right through the back and out through there. So don't take my word. Just look at it. Anybody knows anything about guns, you'll know that he was shot with a high-powered pistol. All right. Now, if God appeared to Nebuchadnezzar and Solomon, and my hair ain't dyed, this is mine. And if he appeared to all the prophets, major and minor, you sister, you still worrying about that? You want me to pluck out my eyelash or one of my hairs and give it to you? See, crazy bunch. You see my eye? See, they don't look black. Nobody puts dye on their eyes or they're crazy. They'll go blind. You ought to put that lead on you anyway, that lead content. But you don't, sure, all of it tells you don't put none of your eyes, because I had to heal one woman. She said, I got it in my eyes, and her eye went blind. So if you have to pluck out one of my hairs, you go have it analyzed. I would like for you to believe. It's terrible. Sitting there worrying about whether my hair is black or not. It's not my hair, but Solomon said his hair was black as a raven. Moses saw him. said, saw him and spoke with him as a man would face to face. Jacob met him and wrestled with him all night, with like a man. He was fighting with him like a lot of folk do with me. They just don't want to accept the truth. They got an old black book, all this ever did. This man that wrote this black book put the early whites in slavery, took the blacks in the first ship, Jesus, and brought them back from Africa. Here's the man that did it, King James of England. He was a whoremonger, alcoholic, and a slave owner. He was a drunk. He did every devious thing you could think of. He cut out the books of Barnabas, the books of the Apocrypha, the books of wisdom. He cut them all out. It was King James that took us from our slave into our slavery, from our beautiful homes in the far country. Took us from the Abraham promised land into this harrowing and horrendous slave country. And you going to judge me by this? Mario did on Tuesday and he died. Peace. All right. But I'll just use it logically. God is no respect to persons. All right? What he's done for one, he'll do for you. What is that song? What he's done for others, he'll do for you. 'Tis no secret. No, you heard it all. Now, if God appeared to Solomon, and God appeared to Jacob, and Jacob wrestled with him all night long, and on the morning, Jacob had more sense than folk in here. I've just used a young man for the first time and sent my mind to him and healed you. Your ear trouble's all gone now, isn't it? Your arthritis is gone back there that I healed. Gone. Pain's all gone. I sent my mind to him, and he did it to you like a ricochet. But Jacob had more sense. All that man did in that Bible was after the morning began to appear, the dawn began to open up his eyes, and he looked on the man, and the man just looked at him and said, what is your name? I tell you what your name is. I told her through him. My God, I told her through him where she come from, where her children was. I saved a son by the name of Roosevelt. He was going to be in an accident. Two of his children would have been killed. I've already saved him. Peace. I did it by transmission. The radio station. You don't know who the radio station is. You ought to, because you just saw I am the radio station. Peace. And I transmitted to him, and he brought healing to you. But Jacob didn't even have that kind of a thing. Jacob, the man, just said, what is your name? But there was something different about the way the man said it. And Jacob said, I have met God face to face. I will name the place Peniel. And all the man says, I'm going to change your name from Jacob to what? Israel. Going to change it. He didn't tell him what his name was. He just said he was going to change it. But there was something about the man that said, Jacob, I'm going to name a town after him. I'm going to build a city. I'm going to make a place, and I'm going to call it Peniel, which in the Hebrew meant in the Hebrew, this day I have met God face to face. Jacob wrestled with him, thought he was just a man, but he was God. Now, I want you to get this because it's your difference between life and death. You got trouble with your heart, honey. You could stand to get this down in yours real close, too. It is important that you have it down close, because I want to make this so plain that though a man be a fool, you shall not err therein. I don't want nobody to die. I come to give everybody life. Wake up! Peace. All right. Now, God appeared, Job says, I had heard of him with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes behold him, and I see him as a man speaketh to a friend face to face. Job saw him. Manoah and his wife saw him. All those in the days of Jesus got to walk with him. Martha and Mary. Martha, just an ordinary woman. Mary, a whore that was converted. They got to walk with God in a body, face to face. I'll tell you, it's different when you walk with God face to face. Now I say to you, if God would appear to the Jews in the form of Jesus and not to blacks and poor whites and the downtrodden of the earth today, if you couldn't see God and yet God would appear to the Jews, he would be guilty of discrimination. He would be a respecter of persons. But he says, God cannot lie. He is no respecter of persons. What he has done for others, he will do for you. I am just about finished. That means God had to have a body in every generation. Our God is an absolute liar. And I can prove to you he's got a body. Peace. But this is not the proof just that I'm doing the works that no man can do. Say, well, the devil can heal. Oh, you're a liar. Your Bible never even taught you that. Even King James didn't teach you that. It said all good things come down from above. All these people I've healed, given jobs, homes, set them free from prison, healed them from blindness, saved them from cancer, saved them from body casts, took them out of wheelchairs. You mean the devil does that? You're a liar. They called Jesus the prince of devils too. They called him not only a devil, they said he was Beelzebub, the master of witchery, the master of trickery, the master of the flies. Oh, how evil people are. He said, no man can cast out a devil with a devil. No man can heal with the devil. He said, if it were so, a house would be divided against itself. When somebody does good, it has to be God. And I'm doing more good than anybody on earth today. Peace. Peace. Now, you couldn't be expected to know that sitting here. But those that know me know it. I've set people free all over this world. I've healed. There's a woman in Africa that was eaten up with cancer, the wife of a chief. She now conducts our mission in Nigeria. Eaten away with cancer, legs gone, eye gone. She's restored. Sister Nizerim, I'm talking about Sister Nizerim. You know who I'm talking about. I've adopted 8 babies. I took 200 in that were starving. Some of you can't know that. It's your first time here. But if you go up to Redwood Valley and look all over there, there's a little miniature. Oh, how beautiful Brother Haywood has got it. How beautifully he's got it. That's just like our main mother church at the temple. All of our buses, our children's home. Over here, our senior's home. Then across the street in those beautiful trees, a lovely convalescent home. And there's white and black, and they're throwing their Bible down. Hey, God, on still in of God. Hey, go. That's what you're supposed to do. Cast down every idol. Cast down every idol. This is an idol because it murders. Anything that murders is an idol. Anything that kills is an idol. It's a paper idol. It's kept you in slavery. It's kept women in slavery. Right now, a man's average salary is $9,000, but a woman's average salary is $4,000. A woman can work hard as a man, but she'll get $4,000 and a man gets $9,000. Why? Because the women are taught by King James to obey, to be subject to their husband. What's subject mean? Be a slave to their husband. I didn't know I was going to preach so long, but baby, I'll preach the truth all day long if I have to. Peace. Don't believe that book only when you want to. It says women keep silent in all the churches. Suffer not a woman to teach. Suffer not a woman to speak. If she's got a question, ask your husband. Where can you find your husband? Some of your husband's been killed, been destroyed by the slave system. You have no husband, yet the church says no woman is to speak in the church. You don't believe that Bible only when you want to. King James put lies in there. He said, slaves, obey your master. Servants, obey your master. If you've got a good master, be thankful. If you have a bad master, he said, endure him. Is it in the book? Yes, it's in the book. That's why we had people owning black people. That's why they were put in slavery, and they were told not to question, because if they had a good master, be thankful, but if they had a bad master, endure him. I have come and told you there are no masters. We shall be free. Never, never in the history of mankind has a black book done so much in infamy as this book. It brought blacks in chains. It murdered the Indians till there's not one hardly left. Their tribes are gone. Their religion is gone. Their culture is gone. The Mexican people, their whole nation was robbed from them, the Mexican Indians, in the name of this black book. It is a paper idol. It's a destroyer. It's a killer. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says it will murder. The Bible, the letter, kills, murders, but the Spirit, truth, love, makes alive. This is a murderer, and this dear woman is throwing it down. That's where all lies deserve to be thrown. Down! Every enemy shall be put down. That is your enemy. The letter kills. The Bible murders. And up there in the valley, if you could know me, you would see those lovely convalescent homes, those senior citizen homes, those children's homes, the animal shelter, just like that. There are three rabbits, by the way, four. And the birds, it's almost like the two birds that are there taken care of that couldn't even stand up. There's pigeons that were laying all around here dead, around this place, laying on their side. Do you know that every pigeon that's been sent to us is now sitting lively, flapping its wings? God is a restorer. How I appreciate Brother Hayward's inspiration that he would write this. What a beautiful picture. People came out and says, some people are saying out there are too many pictures of Jones. I said, until people get away from the pictures of an unknown God, until they take away white angels and white Jesuses, my picture shall remain. It's very well with me. It's very well with me. If you want to put up a picture of Harriet Tubman, she was a mighty epistle. If you want to put up a picture of this black Moses, Harriet Tubman, but I'm tired of looking at Jesus as you never saw. So we'll have a right. This is our house. You didn't pay a penny of it. No Christian churches, no Bible-toting people paid a dime of this place. We worked and slaved. This is the people's house, and we'll put in here what pleases us. Say, well, that's idolatry. No, I'm alive. An idol is something that's dead. An idol means something that is dead. And if you think I'm dead, then you're mighty awfully blind and you're pretty deaf, because I'm lively in every body, in every atom, in every cell of my bodily form. Ah, yes, I am. I haven't slept for 9 long days or nights, but I'm as lively. You want to take me on in a race, because I can run and not be weary. I can walk and not be faint. Oh, yes, I can. God would be a respecter of persons if he would appear to a mother, Martha, and to Mary, and not to you. And he proved that he was no respecter of persons, because King James didn't get all the truth out of it. But you have to have a preacher to bring the truth out. And I've brought it out in this book. All the truth of it is in the first few pages. Then it shows you the lies in the back. And you better get the truth, because the truth will set you free. I'm just about finished now. What happened when Mary and Martha saw Jesus put in the tomb? Bible says he was there for 3 days. That's another lie. King James says he was there for 3 days. He was buried on Friday and supposed to have come out on Sunday. That means a day and a half. Bible said Jesus, after he was baptized with the Holy Ghost in the River Jordan, a dove settled on his head. One part of the Bible said he went over to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, right? Another writer in the same Bible said no. 3 days after he was tempted, after he was baptized, he was over in Cana of Galilee at a wedding feast, turning water into wine. Now you can't be in a wilderness for 40 straight days and 40 nights, and yet 3 days after you're baptized, be over 80 miles away at Cana of Galilee, turning water into wine. What was he doing? Same thing I did this time. How many were here when I changed pitcher after pitcher after pitcher of water into wine? That's what I was doing. I wasn't no wilderness fool around with no devil. I don't know any devil. There is no place for the devil. I recognize no spirit but God. God is the only power that be. All powers that be are ordained of God, and there is no power but of God. I wouldn't talk to no devil for 40 days or 40 nights. Maybe your Jesus would, but I don't. I'm talking life to my children. There's no devil around me. I'm sure shaking up folk. I no time to talk no devil for 40 days and 40 nights. I won't give a devil 40 seconds. There's only one kind of devil, two-legged. Devil is a state of consciousness. Satan is a state of Saturn vibration, and it's too complicated to get into. It isn't no such thing as a personality. He looked around at Peter one time and he said, "Peter, you're a rock. I'm going to build a church on you." Another time he looked at Peter and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because he was in a state of aggravation and unbelief and cynicism and ugly old morose nasty spirit. You know, you've seen a lot of devils like that. He looked around at Peter and he said, "Satan, get thee behind me." Because Satan isn't a man, he's a state of mind. Well, anyway, Jesus is not to be looked after the flesh. You're to know no man after the flesh after he's gone, not even Jesus. That's what Paul told you. Know no man after the flesh after he's gone, not even Jesus. What happened now? In the tomb they were supposed to be laid, Jesus. He never even went to a tomb, actually. He went to India. But I won't get into that. That's too complicated. I had some good followers in that day, because this is a greater day in Jesus' day. These are the greater things. Jesus said, "These things shall you do, and greater." This is a greater day than Jesus. He said, "These things shall you do, and greater, because I go to the Father." Actually, Jesus didn't actually die there. Joseph of Arimathea, they just were good disciples, and they had him drugged well. And they took him out, paid the soldiers, slipped him away, and he went to India, and he did a lot of teaching over there before they finally got to him. I don't care whether you believe it or not. I know, because I was there. But anyway, what happened? This is a glorious thing. It did happen, because he moved out of the contact of that woman. For a period of time, he was gone. And somebody else moved into that hundredfold consciousness, because in Jesus' days, there was more than one body. He moved out of the Israel-Palestine area. And down the road, they were walking. Mary and Martha saying, "Where have they laid our Jesus?" "He's in the tomb." And they were talking. Your Bible tells you the story. And they were saying, "They've taken our Jesus away, laid him in grave clothes." And a man came up to them and was listening to them and consoling their heart and comforting them. And they said, "He was a gardener." But your Bible tells you it was God. It was Jesus in another body. It was the hundredfold in another body. Though Jesus was in one body, but it wasn't the same body, because they would have known Jesus. That's why I had to work a miracle here and transmit to this man, because sometime maybe I'll be away, because I have other sheep which are not of this fold. And I have work to do to prepare mansions for you, not up there, but out someplace else in the world. And some of you might think that I was not present. So I just showed you, though this young man did not look anything like me, yet he was me because he had my mind and my spirit. I put my law into his heart, and I put my spirit in his consciousness, and I put my words in his mouth, and I put my mind in his body. Well, that's what I did then in that day. Down by the way, they said, oh, where have they taken him? But he appeared in a different color, no doubt. Different hair color, different eye color, because they didn't know him. They called him the gardener. And your Bible said it was the very same Jesus and the very same God. God always has had a body. God always will have a body. He said, lo, I am with you. He didn't say it will be with you. He didn't say something will be with you. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Never. No, never. All may change, but Jesus never. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away. My word, the divine economy of socialism, God is here to stay. It's had a body forever, and it always will have a body. If they were to mow me down with a machine gun out here today, if they were to burn me out here and make nothing but ashes, in 5 minutes, I would be standing here. In 5 minutes, I would be speaking here. I said it, and I will keep my word. I said I cannot fail, and I promise you, you will never lose if you follow me. Blessed, blessed, I have proven my work. I have proven my work. Last weekend that I was here, I called out dozens because it wasn't a time for preaching. It was a time to heal. Today, I've given you words that if you will think on them, if you will just look at me and think on what I am, you will spring up, well springs of glory will spring up within your soul. The growths that are there will begin to shrink up and die. The arthritis that is making you in aggravation and pain will suddenly, there will be warm flashes going up and down your back and into your shoulders and into your knees, even now while I'm sitting here. I've got the power. I've got the power. If someone wants to take it, I've got the power, even though they're in a cast or in a brace, to take it. If they have that faith, to take it and move it right now and be just as perfectly normal as they were. Oh, yes, I have, because I know what I am. I've got the power. Glory. Look and live, my brother. Look and live, my sister. Say, I don't want to look at a God like this. You didn't want to look at Jesus. They said he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He had no comeliness, no beauty that you would desire him. The foxes had dens and the birds had nests, but the Son of Man had no place. You didn't desire him then, but it's the same Jesus and it's the very same God. It's rough, isn't it? The truth is rough. It'll shake you to the shoes. Peace and love. Peace and love. It's very well now. I do feel something in my heart. This September, I want us to get through September. I want to ask you, if you will, before I go into any of the last healing phases, if you will give something above your commitment.
This is not your commitment. It won't do you any good. But there is a way to rebuke the devourer. It was said the only time it's ever been spoken this month, $10. It's a way to rebuke the devourer. It's a way to maintain blessings. How many in this room will stand to your feet and say, I'll help you get the food, Father. I'll give over and above my commitment. A $10 prove me offering, I'll give it now. I'll stand to my feet. How many will do it? Quickly. You must do it quickly. God, you say, I worship God because He created me out there, the sky God. And yet the earth is filled with dung. 2 out of 3 babies go to bed hungry, according to President Nixon. Wars, rumors of wars, race against race, Irish against Irish, black against black, the world filled with pain. I've brought you no pain. Everyone that comes near me gets life and healing and deliverance and freedom. Yet people say, well, you got to worship, you got to love your daddy because your daddy brought you into the world. No, you don't. You're not to know any man after the flesh. Some of you have daddies that brought you in because they were drunk. You're not supposed to worship your daddy because he's your daddy. You're only supposed to respect your daddy if he's a good daddy. But we've got a good daddy here. Blessings. The unknown God never helped you, but this house has helped you. You never had a promise that you'd never be lonely, that you'd never be homeless. You never had the sky God promise you that. But the God that took upon flesh and bones, not the Creator. I've never said I would create you. I said I'd save you. I said I would recreate you. I would reform you. I said I would save you. And that I do. But you've worshipped somebody that's brought nothing but pain, and yet you said he's out there, he's got all power. Yet he made some people black, and some people poor, and some people rich, and some people crippled, and yet you worship him. I say we worship only God that we can see, because what we see is what we'll get. I warn you, you better not look to anything else. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You've got to see God in the earth, because what you see, you'll be like. When you see Him, you will be like Him. When He appears, you shall be like Him. The sky God has everybody worshiping Him today, and yet the people are going to bed hungry. There's wars, famines, an earthquake yesterday that swallowed up several poor Manchurians. Earthquakes in diverse places. Yet you said He had all power. You said the devil did that. Who made the devil? God made the devil, supposedly. Lucifer was the most beautiful angel, right? I've got to get this in because it's a difference between life and death. I want you to reflect on what I've preached today. I want you to testify to what you've seen and heard today. I want you to write me a little letter on what message you got out. And I want you to say what you're willing to do for this revelation of God. Where you think we ought to go, what we ought to do, where we ought to be, whether we should...